You're listening to the weekly Parsha podcast with Ari Goldwag, recorded with Hashem's never-ending assistance in Ramah Beit Shemesh Israel, 5784, 2024. This week's Parsha is Parsha's Pikudei. We've been speaking about the tabernacle, the Mishkan, and by extension the Beis HaMikdash, the Holy Temple, which paralleled the Mishkan. For the last 5 weeks we've been speaking about it. And now we come to the completion. Says the Pasuk, in chapter 39, verse 32, Vatechel kol avoidas mishkan oil moed. All of the avoida, all of the work that was involved in creating all the parts of the tabernacle were completed. Vayasu bnei Yisrael kechol asher tziv Hashem es Moshe ken asu. The Jewish people, the sons of Israel, the children of Israel, did all that Hashem commanded Moshe. That's what they did. Okay, so now all the parts are ready. How do we put it up? Who constructs it? Who does that final, takes that final action? Next pasuk, Vayaviu es haMishkan el Moshe es ha'oil ves kol kelav. They brought the Mishkan to Moses, the Ohel, the tabernacle, meaning all the parts, all of its vessels, krushav, brichav, amudav, all of the boards, all of the walls, etc. They brought everything to Moshe. Why did they bring it to Moshe? So the Medrash tells us something amazing. Let's read the Medrash together. We're going to read a few different pieces, small pieces in the Medrash, very importantly connected, and very importantly connected to us. Kama chachamim hayusham. The Medrash tells us there were many wise people there. Uvo lahem etzel Moshe. They came to Moses. There were people who were very adept at creating the different parts of the Mishkan, and there were also engineers who were adept at constructing a Mishkan, actually putting it up. But they couldn't put it up. Ela Amar Shlomo. King Solomon says, Rabbeis Banais Asuchoyel. Many daughters, many girls have done mighty acts. Va'at Alisal Kulana. But you are greater than all of them. There were many wise people, many able people, but there was one who rose above. No one else could put up the Mishkan, only Moses was able to. They created it, they made it, it was ready to go, but they couldn't put it up. Says the Medrash, what did they do? They all took the different parts that they made, each individual part, and they brought it to Moshe. You know, we have to hear as we're reading the Medrash that Moshe Rabbeinu is the person. Each person takes their own thing and brings it to Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu is, generally speaking, the Neshama HaKalelis. He is the soul that includes, represents all of the Jewish people and includes all of the Jewish people. So if there's going to be one person who can bring together all of the creative activity and complete it and bring it to its final form, it's going to be Moshe. Each person brought their particular, the thing that they made. They said, here's the boards, here's the different aspects of it, here's the different elements of the Mishkan, of the tabernacle. Once he saw all the parts, he had Ruach HaKodesh and he was able to lift it up. Now the Gemara Megillah says, we find this in a number of different places, we find that it's true by Esther Amalka, she had Ruach HaKodesh, she had a spirit that came into her. King David had a spirit that came into him when he was able to defeat Goliath. Shimshon had a spirit that came into him to defeat the Philistines. Moshe Rabbeinu, It was perhaps out of his natural ability. But a supernatural spirit came into him and he was able to lift it up. What does it mean? Don't think that Moshe physically was so powerful that he could lift it up. But miracles occurred. It stood by itself. The Pasuk says, the Mishkan stood. Meaning it stood on its own, it stood by itself. It says the Medrash an amazing thing. who built the first Beis HaMikdash, the first temple? We all know that King Solomon built the first temple, but it's not precisely true. King Solomon oversaw all of the building. He oversaw all of the creation of the parts, etc., all of the construction. However, it was built just like the Mishkan. The tabernacle was built on its own. Moshe Rabbeinu, so to speak, did it, but it was really done supernaturally. So too King Solomon. We find the Medrash in Shir HaShirim talks about this at length. There were actually special angels that came. Or Rav Huna b'Shem Rabbi Yosi, he brings it here as well. Hakol Masayin Oisei, Keshabon Eis Beis Halakim, Abriyes Varuchois. Right, the pasuk says, as we're about to see, Minayin Shekasov Abayis Behim Banoisei, Evan Shleiman. The house, when it was built, the Holy Temple, when it was built. Right, which means that the angels came and they assisted him. Supernatural creatures came and they were involved in building the Beis HaMikdash. So this gives actually a slightly different spin when we talk about the Beis HaMikdash HaShlishi, the third temple. Hopefully, Bezrat Hashem will be built soon, speedily and in our days. So we think of it coming down from heaven. We think of it, being something that God does spiritually. But there's a whole discussion as to who actually has to build. Are we chayiv to build? Are we obligated to build the Beis HaMikdash? Is there a mitzvah today for us to asuli mikdash v'shachanti b'soichem? We need to build our holy temple right now, or is it something that happens on its own? And I would say, based on this medrash, that of course we need to actually do it, and it will also be done by heaven. It comes together, right? It makes sense. The Beis HaMikdash, which is the location and the place where we connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where heaven meets earth, it makes sense that it would be done by both man and heaven. Okay, so the measure says, just like it was by Shlomo Melech, King Solomon, V'chein Kishuhukam HaMishkam HaMaisa Nisim Amad. So it was the same exact kind of thing. Moshe Rabbeinu was able to stand up the Mishkan, to complete the Mishkan through supernatural means, just like Shlomo Melech, King Solomon did as well. Now, I'm gonna steer away for a moment from what's going on here in the discussion of the completion of the Mishkan. I'm gonna read to you two different things in the Medrash in this context, right here in this Medrash, speaking about the completion of the Mishkan, but seem to have a little bit not a clear connection. But we'll see that it's the foundation of what's going on, and it's a tremendously deep and important idea that we need to know today. As we are yearning for the Beis HaMikdash to be built, the temple to be built, the Jewish people to be rebuilt, as we go through difficult times that we are going through here in Israel and throughout the world. Pasuk says, "V'chein David Amar," King David said, "Yifei noif mesayis kol ha'aretz." Famous pasuk, we say it every week in the Shir Shel Yom. "Yifei noif mesayis kol ha'aretz." The place of beautiful views. The place in all of the land which causes you to rejoice. What's that place? Har Zion. The mountain of Zion, which is a reference to Har Abayis, to the location of the Holy Temple, right behind the Kaisel, is the Har Abayis. The Kaisel is a wall of the Har Abayis. This place is Har Zion Yarkesei Tzafon. It's the leg of the north. I don't know what that means. Kiryas Melech Rav, the city of the great king. The great king is Hashem. So, Yefei Noif, so we're talking about the completion of the Mishkan, so we're going to talk about the Beis HaMikdash as well. We're going to talk about its beauty and how it causes people to rejoice. Yefei Noif Mesos Kal Aretz, Samar B'Yechanan Ben Elazar. B'Yechanan Ben Elazar, in explaining this verse, in explaining this reference to Jerusalem as the place in all of the land which causes people to rejoice. He said, "Maisa hayi b'brak matias echad." There's a story with a particular merchant. Shehalach liYerushalayim l'mkor shalah. He went to Jerusalem in order to sell his wares. Jerusalem is the place to be. You want to sell stuff? Jerusalem, everyone's coming there. Maybe it was during the regel. Maybe it was at the time when Jews were gathering there. Halach yashav sham v'leimachar. He sat down. He was waiting to sell his wares. Nobody was buying. Amar Zoy Hisha Amar Malem Mesayis Kol Haaretz. The merchant said, this is the place that the Pasuk says it causes everyone on the land to rejoice. I can't sell a thing here. What's going on? It would seem to me, as it were, the merchant is saying, it would seem to me that if this is a place where everyone's happy, it's got to make me happy too. I'm a merchant. I can't be happy without selling. Achar Shah, Mochar Kol Pragmati Shaloi. He's made this statement at first, but then after a short amount of time, he sold all of his merchandise. He sold out. So at the beginning, he couldn't sell a thing. And then all of a sudden, I don't know if it was because of his statement, or maybe it was just, it wasn't yet, the time was not yet ripe, but he went and he sold everything. Amar Yefeinav Mesis Kolaris. So he said, this is it. This is the place with the beautiful views and the place to rejoice. Jerusalem, this is the place. Now, what is the message of this story? It almost sounds like that's the way things are in Yerushalayim. You don't sell right away, but in the end, you do sell. And it just goes. It starts off, interestingly, in the Pasuk, it says, Yefeinav Mesis Kolaris, Hartzion Yarkesei Tzafon. What is Yarkesei Tzafon? We said it's kind of an interesting language. It means the leg of the north. So, the word Tzafon, which means the north, if we're facing east, which we always face east, right? We're optimistic. Mizrach means the place where the sun rises. We're optimistic. The sun is rising. We always face east. We're facing towards Jerusalem, which is in the east, which really means we're facing towards optimism, and we believe the sun will rise. When you're facing east, so the north is to the left. Okay, the north being to the left is very significant. We find also in Chazal, in the Gemara, and Sukkah refers to the north, the Tzafon, or the Tzafoni is the Sahara, the evil inclination. The concept of the north has to do with the concept of Gevura, of withholding. The left hand is Gevura, right hand is Chesed, left hand is Gevura, it's a withholding of kindness. Yarkesei Tzafon means there's a leg of the north. There's an aspect of Gevura in Jerusalem. There's an aspect which you have to get through. You have to break through in order to get to the other side, which is the beauty of Jerusalem, which is the chesed of Jerusalem. It's Yira and it's Shalem, right? Yerushalayim is Yira and Shalem. Yira is fear. There's Gevura, it's fear, it's fearsome. And there's Shalem, there's a completeness. Jerusalem, which is the seat of the Mikdash, the seat of the Holy Temple, and in a parallel way, it parallels the Mishkan. You have to get through a certain darkness in order to get to the light. The guy, the merchant, he had to have a moment where he couldn't sell anything in order to get to that point where it just sells out quickly. This is a very deep idea. I'd like to share with you one more piece in the Medrash, which very much connects to this idea. The Medrash says, "Vatischak liyam acharin." There's a pasuk we know, "Vatischak liyam acharin." Oy zohadar levusha, "Vatischak liyam acharin." That the Eish Yisrael, which is the tzaddik, the righteous individual, which is the Jewish people, who are the righteous amongst the nations, "Vatischak liyam acharin." There's a laughing on the last day. Meaning it looks like until the last day that it's not going to work out so well. But on the last day, everything turns around. Think about Sarah Imenu. Think about Avram Avinu till the age of 190, respectively. They didn't have a child, but they laughed on the last day. Sarah Imenu calls her son Yitzchak. Says the Medrash, this is a description of what happened with the mockers, those who mocked, those who made fun amongst the people of Israel. They didn't believe, for some reason, they didn't believe that the Shekhinah would ever come back, maybe we could say. They didn't believe that Moshe Rabbeinu had the ability to complete the job, to finish off the Mishkan, to finish off the tabernacle, and thereby cause the Shekhinah, the Divine Presence, to find its place upon the Jewish people. Lo yasa. Why? Perhaps the reason is, I think that this might be the Pshat in the Medrash, based on the Mephorshim, Moshe wasn't involved in the actual construction of the Mishkan. He didn't do anything. He wasn't involved in the construction of Bezalel, Aholiyav, all the many artisans. Moshe Rabbeinu was shown everything on Mount Sinai. He saw a vision of every single thing that was going to be created, but he didn't actually take part. He gave the command, but he didn't actually do it. So Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, I want you to pick up the Mishkan. I want you to be the one, like we saw before, who actually physically raises up, completes the Mishkan. So what happened? So he hadn't done anything until then, but Moshe says, I want you to complete it. And now Moshe Rabbeinu turns, as it were, to those who made fun of him and said, hey, you're not doing anything. You're not going to bring the Shekhinah. And he says, you see, I'm the one to complete it. Okay, that's why they weren't able to do it, like we saw before. He says, bring it to me. They weren't able to do it. They brought it to him. He was the one who was able to complete it, as we saw, in a miraculous way, with the help of Hashem. There's an aspect of inability. He couldn't do it. He wasn't involved in it. It seemed like he wasn't going to be the one to bring the Shekhinah, even though that was, it would seem to be his entire reason for existence. Moshe Rabbeinu was there to facilitate the Shekhinah, the Divine Presence coming on the Jewish people, but he didn't do anything. Oh, but he was there at the end and he completed it. And he had the last laugh, so to speak. The Medrash says like this, in explaining this pasuk, Batzisagliyam Achrein. There's a story with a particular student, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, the famous Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, who's buried in Meron, student of Rabbi Akiva. Sheyotza chutzel arts uva asher. He was the author of the Zohar. One of his students went out of the land of Israel and he came back a rich man. The students saw this and they were jealous. They wanted their needs to be provided for. They wanted to have the wherewithal so that they could sit and learn comfortably. They said, look, let's, they were talking amongst themselves. Let's go out of the land of Israel. Chas v'shalom. Heaven forbid to leave Israel. The other Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon realized that this was going on, that this conversation was going on amongst his students. He took them to a valley, an open area. Maybe it's not a valley, maybe it's a field. Next to Meron, in the north of Israel. He prayed and he asked God, let this open area fill with golden coins. Excuse me. They saw endless golden coins sitting there in front of them. Wow. You want to be rich? You want money? You want gold? You want guarantees for all of your needs? Go and take. But you need to know that if you take now, you're going to subtract from your portion in the world to come. The reward for Torah, which really means the reward for our relationship with God, comes at the end. It comes in the world to come. That's what it means. She laughs. She has the last laugh on the last day. The joy comes at the completion, doesn't come at the beginning. The sense that you have that full completion, Yir'e Shalem, right? Yerushalayim, Jerusalem, Meshkan, Beis HaMikdash. It starts off with a tzimtzum, it starts off with a constriction. The completion, the sense of feeling complete, is the second stage. It doesn't happen in the beginning. If you try to grab it at the beginning, you don't get anything in the end. That's what Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai was saying to them. Don't leave the land of Israel. Oh, it's hard to make money in Israel. Oh, it's hard to raise your kids in Israel. Don't leave Israel. Don't think that if you live in Chutz La'aretz, if you live outside of Israel, it might be a little easier, might be a little better, you might be richer, things might be a little smoother now, but you don't end up with the same thing as you end up with when you are living in the land of Israel, when you're living in Jerusalem, when you're near the Beis HaMikdash, when you're in the temple. Rabbi Shimon says, don't leave. Don't try to get in now. That's not the path. The path is, and you want to laugh on the last day like Moshe Rabbeinu. It looks like he's not involved. It looks like he's not involved in bringing the Shekhinah, the Divine Presence in. You come into Jerusalem to sell your wares. It looks like you come to Israel in order to, you want to live in Israel. It looks like you're not going to make it. It looks like you're not going to have Parnassa. It looks like your kids are not going to succeed, heaven forbid. Stick it out. It's going to work out in the end. You have to pass through the fire. Chazal say, Eretz Yisrael is niknas b'yisurin. The land of Israel is acquired through difficulties, through challenges. Eretz Yisrael, the land of Israel, this is the place to be. As Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says, you can't leave, don't leave. Don't give it up, don't give up. Don't give up your last laugh because you want to try to laugh now. And if you think about it, what he's really saying is, what does it mean to go to Chutz La'aretz? What does it really mean to leave Israel? What does it really mean to have the gold? It really means I feel like I've got everything taken care of. I gotta feel like everything is taken care of before I get involved in my spiritual endeavors. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says, don't make that mistake. You need to just connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Moshe Rabbeinu could have said, look, why am I not involved in the actual construction of the Mishkan? Where's my part? Where's my place? But his job was to complete it. His job was to complete it. Don't make the mistake. You might come to Israel and you might experience, excuse me, where am I here? Where do I fit into this country? Where do I fit into this culture? But don't worry. There's a Vatischag Le'emacharin. There's going to be a joy in the end. You might not make all the money you'd like to in Jerusalem. And you might say, hey, where's this Messiah's Kol Ha'aretz? But you got to wait for the Messiah's Kol Ha'aretz. You got to wait for that joy. And the joy is a spiritual joy, ultimately. And that's what you see also from, even when Moshe Rabbeinu is lifting up the Mishkan, he's not doing it himself. He's perhaps it looks like he's doing it. Shlomo HaMelech, King Solomon, building the Beis HaMikdash, perhaps it looks like he's doing it. But the spiritual beings are all there assisting him. Hey, I want to do it. I can't do it. Messiah's Kol Ha'aretz. The ultimate joy is when you know it's not you, it's God. That's what we're going for. I want to bless you and I ask you to bless me. Hashem should help us that we should be able to recognize the power, the importance of Eretz Yisrael, of living in the land of Israel. We should recognize the importance of putting our full dependence only on Him, only on God. We should recognize when things aren't going our way, when it seems like we're not successful, maybe in business, maybe in spiritual matters, putting up the Mishkan, trying to sell merchandise in Jerusalem. Hold on. Hashem is going to help you. It's going to be, if you are connected to God, which is what the Mishkan and the Beis HaMikdash are about, may we be blessed to recognize that if we're holding on to Hashem, and in the end, we're going to have that last laugh. We're going to have that incredible joy, which only comes with a spiritual connection. Thank you so much for listening. Have a wonderful Shabbos. This podcast was made possible through the gracious donations of listeners like you. For more podcasts like this, please visit www.arigoldwag.com or search on iTunes, Ari Goldwag.